You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its flavor, how can it be restored? It's no good for anything, and so it might as well be tossed out and thrown onto the ground, where it will get trampled on underfoot. So too, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hill that cannot be hid. Nobody lights a lamp and then hides it under a bushel. No, they take it and put it on a lampstand so that the entire house can be filled with light. So too, let your light shine so all people can see it, so that when people see your good works, they will give glory to God who is in heaven. Has anyone ever tried a low-sodium diet? Anyone? Is it something that you decided to do on your own? No, right? Absolutely not. Probably some doctor had told you that it was advisable, maybe a temporary thing, maybe a permanent thing, something that you did not do willingly. Because a low-sodium diet is a bland diet, unexciting. A little bit of salt makes almost everything taste better. And there is a lot written about the dangers of too much salt, right? That's why we have those low-sodium diets, and we see all these low-sodium items in the grocery store. But there's actually a biological need for at least some sodium in our diets. We need some of it to survive. In ancient times, in the times of Jesus, salt was a necessity in order to preserve foods because, of course, they didn't have refrigeration. It was a matter of survival. You couldn't live without it. So it's one of those rare commodities that is both needed and wanted. A necessity that is also somewhat of a luxury, right? We sure needed it on our roads this week, didn't we? Made a big difference if we had not had the salt on our roads. It's true that if salt does lose its flavor, it is of no use. Now, how does that happen exactly? Well, it could get wet, it could get soiled, and then, of course, it is useless. Jesus mentions this, of course, to make sure we know the importance of staying the course, of staying strong, of staying faithful to the gospel. He just got done telling us that we are blessed to be a blessing. Last week in our Beatitudes, blessed are those who, right? And we have a list of things. So here Jesus is telling us to keep it up. Keep your saltiness. Because it can be hard to come back from losing that flavor, right? Once it gets spoiled or tarnished or distilled, we're not as effective anymore. And who has made us effective? Well, that is, of course, God, specifically Jesus. Jesus is the one that has given us our flavor. Jesus is the one who has set our hearts aflame. Don't let it go out. Don't hide it. Don't waste it by hiding it away, Jesus says. The wick doesn't last forever. Eventually, it will burn down. The wax will melt. The oil will be extinguished. Our lives are finite. So we have a purpose here while we are here. I wonder what must have been going through the mind of those people that day. Because right before the Beatitudes, blessed are you who do this and that, It says that Jesus had a huge crowd that was following him. These aren't just the disciples sitting and listening to him in a room. Big, huge crowd. He had to go up to a mountaintop. They probably, might be their first experience with Jesus. It might be their only experience with Jesus. I can picture them thinking, wait, we are the light of the world. We are the salt. We came here to see you, Jesus. You're supposed to be the special one. You're the one that's supposed to be the Messiah. The one that John the Baptist said, go and follow that guy now. That's why we're here. You're the one that all this stuff was written about and prophesied about. You did all this cool stuff curing people. That's impressive. You're the one that's supposed to start the kingdom of God. And now you want us to do it? Maybe they went away not interested after hearing this. They missed all the other stuff that the Sermon on the Mount says, the Lord's Prayer, all that good stuff about loving each other as God has loved you, loving your enemies. Maybe some were confused. Maybe some were not used to being told that they're special at all. Certainly not something positive like light of the world. It's one thing to say that those who are mourning will be comforted and those who are persecuted will have the reward in heaven. But now Jesus is telling them that he has a job for them. Maybe just some of them were inspired to let their light shine, to not hide it under a bushel like the song says, vowing not to let anything put out their lights. What if this Sermon on the Mount was all we heard of Jesus? We didn't know the rest of the story, all the parables, the miraculous fish and walking on water, the crucifixion and resurrection. Would we be convinced to sign our name? Would we want to hear more from another candidate, maybe? One who had bolder promises and a grander vision of the future. This scripture was the focus passage, Light of the World, specifically, for the general synod this summer in Milwaukee. And I was just there for one day of it, and so I just heard the opening speaker, and I was very inspired by the opening speaker, and I made it our focus scripture for the next Sunday when I returned back. And our delegates talked about their experience that they had there. I remember challenging us by asking us what it is that we want to hang on our lamppost outside of our church. What is our message? What did we want to communicate to the community around us, to our neighborhoods, to people who we know? I think I shocked people. I scared some of you as the message wasn't received as much as I'd hoped. My fire was lit, but then it was sort of faded by some discouragement, I admit. But since then, we have met that summer, in our Sunday school hour, our elders discussed some things in our meeting. We created a visioning team that met a few times. We talked and met. We recently had a visioning retreat. We created a new vision and a new mission statement. Can we have the next slide, please? Thank you. This is our new logo, which reflects our new mission to welcome, love, and to serve all. This is what we want to hang on our lampstand, as Jesus says, for the rest of Galleon to see, for the world to see. This is what we're going public with, like a company who reveals their new product or has a grand launch and they ring that bell at Wall Street. There's a lot of fanfare and buzz. We are a group of people united under Christ, under the banner of Christ, that exists to welcome, to love, and to serve all people. This can be a light to the community and salt for people's lives. I'm excited to be a part of this, to see this happen, excited to start our next chapter together. There are many opportunities and things that we can do together to serve those who need served in this community. There are a lot of needs of people. There's a lot of people that I see that fall through the cracks. There's a lot of people in our community. I've met some of them that sincerely believe that God does not love them. They've existed outside the umbrella of the church. They believe that for years. We're going to be there to welcome them, to share the love of God with them. This is something that we can all do, that we all can share in this mission of love. At some point, I remember asking this question, some point in the last year. If our church would disappear tomorrow, would we be missed by the community? And I would say, yes, we would be missed, not just a blank lot of grass or pavement. No. The community wouldn't be as nice of a place to live in. It would be less kind, less loving, less forgiving, I believe, less welcoming, I believe. There would be more needs that would fall through the cracks. What a blessing it is to be a blessing. The lesson of the Beatitudes. This mission statement, I believe, will keep our lights trimmed and burning like another song. So many songs about the light and being the light of God that we sing, some of them here today. It will keep our lights trimmed and burning like the parable of the wedding party that waited up all night and some of them missed the party. It will resupply our shakers with salt to bless others with. People have said that the harder part is living into our mission statement, and that most certainly is true. We have a lot to do. There's a lot of specifics to work out. Yet Christ is there with us, there to guide us through prayer, there to strengthen us, just as he said he would be when he said, I will never leave you, before he left the disciples. Let us pray. Holy One, we dedicate ourselves to you and to being light and salt to the world. Help us each and every day as we wake up to breathe in your spirit and to help somebody in need. Maybe it's somebody that we know, somebody that we don't know. Help us as a community as we go forth and we look at specific things and we look at challenges that we have in the community and challenges that we have within our walls and in this community. Help us to mend. Help us to be a place to welcome, to serve, and to love all, regardless of their past, regardless of who they are. Help us in this compassionate, forgiving ministry. Rekindle us, we pray here today, through the power of your Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.